welcome to Nerds of the Old Republic, the podcast where we discuss nerdy fiction and... Hold on, I didn't finish the assignment. I got to go to chat. Actually, that's not... Well, okay, yeah, it is a joke, but all... It's supposed to be a joke. But also, that's what we're doing tonight, y'all. We are living in the future. Some would say that this is the best time to be alive. Some would say this is the worst time to be alive. And we're going to play
Charles
with...
Dickens?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I can't believe I just quoted that asshole.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
That's because you read the, like, OCR rectified version that you're stealing online. So we are going to investigate what chat can do for us before it destroys humanity and becomes our robot overlord inside of Tesla's Optimus robot.
Nice.
So once those two get together, we're fucked. We might as well enjoy the good times now.
Yeah, we might as well get used to it.
This is before we realize that we're actually AI generated ourselves.
We're in a simulation.
Oh my God.
Podcast
Free
implodes.
Your mind. Anyways, if you don't get that Matrix reference because you're under 30, go watch a DVD.
DVD? What's a DVD?
Yeah, later, next cast. So, in that vein, Sean actually had ChatGPT generate tonight's drink. So, yeah. Would you mind giving us the experience, and then I have the recipe if you want to go through
it. Well, in keeping with the theme, I thought it'd be kind of cool to see if ChatGPT could actually design a cocktail for us. So I opened up the prompt there, and I typed in, design an AI-inspired cocktail. And what it gave us, I have to say, looks cool.
Very cool.
It looks really cool. And, I mean, it did it in like 10 seconds. And it didn't sound terrible either. We haven't drank it yet, honestly, but it...
No, we haven't yet. But essentially, it's like a blue martini.
Yeah.
Kind of what we got.
Well, as Adam made these, I think we made the observation that it looked like something you would see at 10 Forward being served by Guinan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good reference again.
Yeah, that is.
TNG reference.
Everything comes back to TNG because we were making data jokes as well, or data jokes.
Data jokes.
Data? All right.
Is
so,
what's it called again?
This is Binary Bliss.
Binary Bliss.
According to ChatGPT.
All right.
So it is blue curacao, vodka, lemon juice, simple syrup, and then because we're extra here at the podcast, there's edible glitter in it as well.
Oh, that wasn't part of the recipe? Nice touch.
No, it was actually.
Oh, it was.
I can't take credit
for
it. It literally said, if you would like to be extra,
yeah.
Add some.
I gotcha. Okay. It gives it a very, like, sparkly, futuristic sort of sheen.
And chat in the recipe even said, like, vodka for the binary side of things because it's very clean and crisp and uninterpretable.
Yeah. It, like, justified the ingredients.
That's terrifying.
As some sort of, like, mixologist 1.50 would have.
Thank you, Master.
Skynet.
All right. Ready, gents?
Yeah, let's do this.
Cheers.
It's something I would probably pay $5 for.
Yeah.
For a beverage.
I would say this is on the menu. You order because, like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And you get in, you're like, nah, can I have a rum and coke?
Yeah. It's like a $15 Vegas Tuesday night special to get you in the door.
It looks awesome. I have to give it props for the appearance, and you putting the glitter in there definitely is what makes it work.
Sold it, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I think actually it'd probably be prettier if it was just vodka and the glitter. Maybe the simple syrup too, because the simple syrup would give it a little bit of different viscosity. But the blue curacao fucks with the color.
Yeah.
It takes away some of the glitter.
It went from blue to purple when you put the glitter in, which is actually kind of a neat trick.
It is cool.
Yeah. That's just the color glitter I bought. Mm. Or I should say my wife bought. Thanks, hon.
No, it's you know what? Honestly, it's I'm not dead.
No, and it's we're not going, like, there's not so much sugar in it that we're going to get sick.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling strangely warmer about AI in general, and I'm feeling more open to it.
A little effervescent about the whole AI experience.
I'm having this transformative moment. It's weird.
It's a good time for us to maybe try some experimenting with more AI, Mike.
You know what they say, AI generated cocktails are the gateway drug to AI generated stories.
Yes, and they also say that if a little is good, more must be better.
So. Absolutely.
Once you go AI, you,
Like, I don't know.
No, I was waiting for how you were going to rhyme that. Yeah. I was like, buy, try.
Once you go AI, the end is nigh.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Once you go AI, you're looking for Wi-Fi.
And then why try? All right. So, yes, I do have a chat account. Please don't read or ask me for my histories because they're awful sad.
All that cryptid porn you're asking.
Well, yeah. Stop. I asked you not to look. Thank you. Yes, I did actually ask it to generate a creepy Cthulhu. This was not chat, but Crayon, C-R-A-I-Y-O-N, a digital assistant that does art, generated a creepy Cthulhu playing D&D with a cocktail in its hand, and it did a decent job, actually. It was wearing a smoking jacket.
So you're saying all the time and effort I put into, like, juicing up our logo thing there, I could have just had AI do it?
No, because we're not that kind of people.
Okay, you're right. We're artisanal.
But, yes, you could have.
But, I mean, yes, we could have. Yes, and then I put it in my daguerreotype.
Yes.
And we, no.
Put that in our Gutenberg.
So... what am I typing into this, gents? Write me a story. We're going to use it to write a story tonight.
Yeah, so that's our premise, right?
Copyright Nerds of Old Republic 2024. Fuck you, ChatGPT.
Thank you.
Though I like you. Okay. Yeah, so each of us are going to give me a genre or an adjective or a descriptor. So I'm going to start with write a story. Okay.
Well, Sean, this is your great idea. You why don't you take the first crack at it?
Okay, so I want this story to include an ancient race of immortal elves.
Of an ancient race of immortal...
Does not compute.
No. I'm shaking my head because my motherfucking printer keeps telling me it's low on ink instead of just dying like it should.
Home printing sucks.
Oh, my God. Immortal elves.
Mike?
Whose planet is dying, and they are not, and that's a problem. I'm sure you can word that better.
I'm going to add, in the vein of... Tolkien history.
And
generating. Oh, I already hit and.
Oh, damn it. I was going to say, and No Country for Old Men.
Well,
ooh.
So I've done this before. We can take this prompt and then add, now do it again, like No Country for Old Men.
Oh,
that'd be cool. Oh, I got a network error. What? Regenerate. It actually pumped out quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. But then it died. Something happened.
The planet died before the elves could solve the problem.
That's actually fantastic.
Futurama was so right about most of this stuff in the future.
Isn't that creepy as hell?
Yeah.
What specifically are you referring to?
Oh, just anytime they ask a computer to do something, or like it's supposed to be convenient, and it just winds up sucking.
Oh, that's the greatest show of all time.
Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 paragraphs.
All right.
From it.
That's a story.
Should we like give it a read and then come back to our audience with it?
Yeah, we'll take a pause now, sip up on our binary bliss, our scissorp.
I think Kate Blanchett is on her way to do the opening monologue.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. I'm going to hold you to that.
Well, I thought we got Bill Murray doing the...
Bill called again, and... they're filming Zombieland 3.
Just keep missing each other, you know?
Honestly, every time.
Ship's passing in the night, man.
And I don't want to give too much away because it's part of their Super Bowl ad, but Snoop Dogg is in it, so he's also out.
Nah, he's busy. Okay. He's busy.
He's usually pretty busy. He always gives us, like, you know, like greetings, you know.
And yeah.
I can't make you guys sorry. You know,
he's very surprisingly polite. Yeah.
Yeah. He leaves me a good bunch of meditations in lieu of him being here because that's his new thing now is mindfulness.
Yeah.
So he's all about it.
Yeah. Usually sends us a box of weed.
Yeah, the stickiest of the icky, which is fantastic.
Course. Naturally.
Yeah. All right. So we will be back as we read this and contemplate whether or not humans are still going to be able to be creative in the future.
All right.
All right, so here is what our future overlord generated when we asked it to make a Tolkien-styled story about immortal elves whose world is dying. In the ancient world... No, I'm just kidding. In the twilight of an ancient world, where celestial melodies once harmonized with the whispers of magic, there existed a race of immortal elves known as the Elenorians. They dwelled in the heart of a realm called Arandor, a land adorned with lush forests, sparkling rivers, and towering mountains. For eons, the Elenorians thrived under the canopy of their enchanted realm, their lives intertwined with the rhythms of nature and the wonders of arcane wisdom. But as the ages passed, a shadow crept across Arandor. The once vibrant lands began to wither, as if the very essence of life was slowly being drained from the world. The rivers ran shallow, the forest grew thin, and the mountains trembled with a deep, mournful resonance. It was a sign that Arandor itself was dying.
Yeah.
We all read it and we're like, yeah, feels right. Yeah.
Right.
It's like a video game premise.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? It's what is it, 10 total paragraphs you said?
10 total, roughly about the same length, like 7 sentences.
So the whole thing, like, I hear it with, like, I'm of two minds about it. One mind, I'm like, if this were, say I were an editor or an agent and this were submitted to me, I would say this is horribly, like, hackneyed and cliche. But I mean, there's no real originality here. Right. But the other part of me is like, it generated this shit in a split second,
right,
based on horribly hackneyed and cliche prompts that we gave it.
And we didn't ask it to be Tolkien, which right. Like, so then it's generating, but it's generating in a style or right. pattern we told it.
Right. 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 So, I mean, I wonder what prompts, what I'm curious about is what prompts you could give this thing to see if there is some spark of something that feels creative, that wouldn't just be entirely dependent on, you know, or just be like a straight formula. Yeah. I'm guessing that would be hard to do because that's what it is. It's an algorithm, you know.
It just absorbs everything right. on the internet and just spits it.
Exactly. But the fact that it does that in a split second is, I don't know how to feel about it.
I mean, as I think about this, we said, you know, write a story. This is the elevator pitch for a book.
Yes.
That's really what it is.
Right.
So somebody takes this, they flush it out, use the words, use the names, you know, Elenorians, Arandor, Starheart later on that I didn't get to. You got a story. You have middle grade fiction.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right.
So could we tweak what already exists?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we tell it then? Like, now change it with this or something?
Yeah, if I say now make it or now rewrite it as or something like that.
Can you say like now make it sound more like Cormac McCarthy?
Yep. Let's try it.
Do we want to all take turns and like we'll all fuck with the story? Like,
oh, no. Yeah. Let's just keep adding shit onto it.
That's what I mean. Let's keep fucking with it.
I said Cormac McCarthy. What do you want to add to it?
Oh, okay. Well, let's get that first.
No, check it out. I think just pile this shit on. Let's test the limits of this fucking thing, man.
Now, do note that I only have the free version, so it's not going to be as quote unquote powerful as 4.5.
Damn, we only have 3 Infinity Stones.
Yeah. All right. So I said, now make it sound like Cormac McCarthy. What it's going to do, it's going to take the premise. It's going to keep the names.
Yeah.
It's going to keep the dying planet living elves. But it's going to change the style of the sentences that it tells me. So I'm just going to read the same first paragraph.
Sure.
Because it's already done. It wrote 10 paragraphs again.
Damn.
In the twilight of an age forgotten, where the ancient melodies of celestial spheres whispered in their elegies, there dwelled a race of immortals known as the Elenorians. Their world, Arandor, lay languishing in the throes of decay, its once verdant lands now desolate, bereft of life's vibrant embrace.
Fuck, man.
Dude.
Fuck. It did it.
Dude, fucking bereft.
Yeah.
Elegies. Like, that's fucking Cormac McCarthy.
Throes of decay.
Yeah.
Yes. That sentence right there had me. Holy shit. That's the man. That's the man.
All right. Let's take that. Let's keep it in the style of Cormac McCarthy.
What do you want to add?
But let's rewrite the story so that Snoop Dogg is a character in it.
So my prompt now is rewrite it to include Snoop Dogg as a character?
Yes.
The main character or a character?
Yeah, let's make him... Well, then I'm afraid it'll just substitute the name, right? Because there's already a hero.
Yeah, so it might. Yeah.
So how can we put like Lorenzo Snoop in an in a new way?
Well, let's try, and if I don't like it, I'll back out.
Is it okay. A central character?
Is that too much
like a main character?
Let's see.
Let's see what Adam comes up with here.
That's not me. It's Chat.
You're playing Chat like an instrument, Adam.
Sure. All right.
The speed.
Prophecy of Randor foretold. Okay.
Adam likes what he's wrought.
There's no dialogue, which to get dialogue, you have to tell to write it like a play.
Yeah.
Or a script. And then it'll pump that out. We're going to do that for the next episode. Yeah. But so here's, I'm going to read a little bit more this time. Actually, the first paragraph stayed the same, so I'm not going to reread it. Fuck yourself. Go back and hit back a few times.
Download us again. And again.
Yeah.
And again.
So yep. Here's, this is the rest of Cormac McCarthy version. But amidst the sorrow, a ray of hope pierced the darkness. A prophecy whispered through the annals of time. It spoke of the Starheart, an ethereal relic set to hold the very essence of creation, slumbering deep within the bosom of Arrendur. And it foretold of a chosen one, a figure both unexpected and enigmatic, one who would wield the power to awaken the dormant magic. I can't even read this while I'm laughing.
I'm already losing it.
Breathe life anew into their dying world.
I just imagine your Snoop Dogg like...
La-di-da-di-da. No, the next paragraph says, enter Snoop Dogg.
It's great. It's just a stage direction.
He gets more. Enter Snoop Dogg, a wanderer of the cosmos, whose journeys led him to the beleaguered realm of the Eleanorians. With his laid-back demeanor and keen intuition, he became an unlikely ally in their quest for salvation. I fucking love it.
Oh my God!
I want to see this. Snoop, if you're listening, Snoop! I have a project for you.
With his laid-back demeanor.
Yeah.
That's a wanderer of the cosmos.
Now, I will say, as I scan forward, I can't, every time, I just hear, la-di-da-di-da.
It's the motherfucking day.
Yeah, right? So, really, all it does is then repeat, led by the enigmatic Snoop, a few times over. Snoop's wisdom and unshakable coolness served as a beacon of hope.
Well, it's bad. You know, I can vouch for that for the last 25 years or so. Yeah.
All right, Adam, you've got to wrinkle this up more, too.
Last thing. In a moment of clarity, Snoop stepped forward, his presence commanding and his words imbued with an otherworldly charisma. With a flick of his wrist and a whispered incantation, he stirred the slumbering magic within Starheart. Like that? I mean, that's
what I can see sick. This happening in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Honestly. And I'm crying laughing. Like, I have tears in the corners of my eyes.
Oh, my God.
To quote our last cast out there screaming, there's a booger in the corner of my eye.
Nice. Thank you, Jemison.
Yeah.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Well.
Do you want to add MK Jemison to
this?
Oh, no.
What I'm going to do is then say, add the humor of Mel Brooks.
Oh, my God.
Good one.
Dude.
ChatGPT says, my eyes fucking hurt. Stop it.
You sure don't?
Bless you. Not you. Not you. Bless you. Okay. Let's see what it says. Because this is tough. This is honestly probably the hardest thing I've asked. The first paragraph is the same.
Just throws in a Spaceballs joke or something.
I mean, the first few paragraphs are the same now.
Uh-oh.
Snoop Dogg is still there. That's fine.
Do we find the limit?
We may have hit the limit. Oh, nope. Here we go. Paragraph 5. But as fate would have it, Snoop arrived in Arrendor, accompanied by his faithful sidekick, a talking pug named Rufus, whose penchant for mischief rivaled even that of his master. Thus, amidst the silence of a pending doom, a fellowship was formed, an eclectic band of Eleanorians, their mischievous canine companion, and the enigmatic Snoop, embarking on a journey fraught with peril and possibility.
Let's see. The enigmatic snake.
Through treacherous forests and haunted valleys, they journeyed, facing trials that tested the resolve and forged their bonds. And amidst the darkness, Rufus's antics provided much-needed comic relief, whether he was chasing spectral squirrels or barking at the shadows. So, you know, I think because there's very little, there's no dialogue.
Yeah.
I think that's really where Mel Brooks' humor would have come through.
True. In order to get that real sense of, like, irreverence.
Let's add some dialogue.
Now, add dialogue. And write it like a screenplay. It's doing it. I mean, dude, no hesitation. It's just pumping it out. This, dear listener, is when we have the singularity. And Snoop Dogg, Mel Brooks, ChatGPT, and three nerds in a podcast come together and make something beautiful. It does have dialogue. If you give us a moment, dear listener, Sean, maybe you might cut this out. I don't know. I'm going to read it aloud, and we'll figure out what to do here with our lives. All right, so far, ChatGPT has to keep in mind Tolkien, elves, dying planet, Cormac McCarthy, Snoop Dogg, and Mel Brooks. And then I told it to write it like a screenplay and add dialogue. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And what we get is title, Snoop and the Stoneheart, Starheart. And it does write it like a screenplay. I mean, it says interior 11, Elven Council Chamber, Elder Eleanorian 1. Our world is fading, my brethren. Aranda's light dims with each passing day. Elder 2. We must find a way to save our realm before it's too late. Elder 3. But how? The ancient prophecies speak of Starheart, but none have been able to locate it. Suddenly, the heavy doors creak open, and in strides Snoop Dogg, followed by his faithful sidekick, Rufus. Yo, what's crack-a-lackin', my motor homies? And so it kind of like goes like that. It's kind of like, again, the middle of the road, what would Snoop do? What would Snoop say?
Yeah.
But maybe not really.
It's, you know? Like, it's almost like, not even parody. I don't know. It's like a white guy trying to rap is what it feels like to me in a lot of cases. Like, not a talented white guy either. You know, like an old white guy.
Yeah, like a 40-year-old suburban.
Yeah.
No, hey, listen. Some to of my us story. Are real close to that. Yeah.
Some of us are exactly that.
Yeah. But the
you're
the
living
thing
with
too,
your auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
The Mel Brooks is completely missing from this.
Yeah, I didn't catch that at all.
It's trying with Rufus the talking dog. Yeah, but Rufus's lines are woof and squirrel.
Yeah,
squirrel.
That's it. I don't know if that's maybe a reference to some deep cut shit that I'm not recognizing.
I can think it's barf log, but
yeah.
Like,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's some easy stuff that you could do Mel Brooks. Yeah. You know, there could be a walk this way joke or something. But
yeah,
I think it's also very
cautious about Mel Brooks because of some of his jokes being racist or too edgy. I don't think chat is going to pump that out.
Yeah.
I just don't. Maybe. So the last thing we said as we were discussing, you know, behind the curtain here is now make the entire thing a Snoop rap song. And I typed it. It's done. It's already done.
Oh my God.
It was done the second I hit enter. So
are you going to rap it for us?
If we give you a beat.
Yeah. Yeah, who's good at beatboxing, or should we just drop this in? All right, so we get, yo, gather round, let me tell you a tale about a realm in trouble where hope seemed to fail. Arendor's fading, it's like growing dim, but a hero stepped up, gonna make it all spin. Pre-chorus, Snoop Dogg in the house, with the Rufus by my side. No, this should be Snoop Dogg. So, Snoop Dogg in the house, with my pug Rufus by my side. We're gonna save the day, gonna turn the tide. A Lenorian, stand up, let your spirits rise. We're gonna find the Starheart, gonna claim the prize. It's not bad.
Dr. Dre to lay down a beat.
Yeah.
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 And then the chorus is, Snoop Dogg and the Starheart. I don't even know how to do this. I'm too lame to read this right.
Read it intellectually.
Pushes his glasses up. Snoop Dogg and the Starheart, a legend in the making. Through the valleys of despair, we'll be journeying and shaking. With wisdom and with swagger, we'll face the darkest night. Together, we'll bring back the light, shining bright. There's your chorus.
I feel like that would be Nate Dogg, you know? Like, Nate Dogg would have to sing that part.
Or Moana. Not Moana. What's her name? Monica?
Yeah. And it gives me, let's see, verse two, pre-chorus again, chorus, bridge, chorus, and an outro. Song. It's not bad. You know what? Honestly, it could easily be a three-minute song without any hesitation on my part. When you throw in, you know, the measures to get in, the measures to get out, whatnot.
Yeah.
So what's our take on this whole, like, AI apocalypse?
I don't think it's coming as fast as everybody thinks it is, except if you work in education, in which case it's been here for a couple years.
Yeah.
If you work in math, it's been here for a long time because of math photo or photo math or whatever it is.
Well, you bring up education. I think that's where apocalypse is a strong term to use, but it is definitely dangerous in that sense because it, in seconds, can produce work that isn't like, you know, decades worth of American children, sort of cheating on their homework. This is it literally able to do its homework convincingly and without really a consistent way of being exposed for it.
Yeah, that being said, though, I have to say, I have not seen anything from ChatGPT that rises above the level of a middling high school student.
Collegiate work is not going to get done. I have heard my college comrades complaining that they definitely know people have been using it. They've got a few people, but the catchers are not great right now to prove it.
Well, it's just, it's not natural and it's not novel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, like you said, it's very derivative. It's all it can do is draw on what already exists. So it's always going to feel like a weird, vague echo of other things.
But that's my point is you say middle school. That's the level that I would be concerned about is that's where, when they ought to be developing true critical thinking ability, they're defaulting to ChatGPT and getting away with it, you know? And it's sort of like not going to the gym. You're not building the muscles, you know?
That's the exact analogy I mean. You skip leg day and then you get pissed because you can't squat more and you have chicken wing legs.
Right.
And the students look at me and kind of like laugh for a little bit, but that's what's happening.
Like, yes.
I've tried to find ways to ask them to generate thought that I didn't think chat could replicate, and I've yet to find a really replicable way to do that. Like, I asked for them to summarize, you know, 5 pages a night when they read, and you can literally just ask ChatGPT to summarize the first 5 pages of chapter 13 in To Kill a Mockingbird, and it will do it.
Absolutely. And they're able to upload a small sample of their own writing and then have ChatGPT recreate what it created in their voice.
Yeah. Not even ChatGPT, but things like Grammarly will do that. You can tell it to smooth out the syntax and everything and make it sound like this. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's crazy the tools that they have that can certainly not lead to a lot of authentic thinking.
Yeah. I don't think we're at the epoch where like creative thought is dead. Because this is more like a mold that chat fills in and it can just like keep cookie cuttering stuff. I'm not sure when the leap is going to happen to true original generative thought, dialogue, ideas. But I mean, I've seen on my newsfeed that like a star Chinese author used chat to generate their book. And then they worked on it. I don't know if it was like with chat or it did the premise like we just did. And then they created the rest of the book from the premise. But, you know, I don't know how far we have until that's the case.
Well,
I know AI has been writing like headlines and news wires.
Well, it's been going on for years.
Yeah, yeah,
for years. So.
And I've read that publishing houses. I mean, I don't know if this was just temporarily or what, but certain publishing houses had to pause submissions while they tried to figure out how they could, right. You know, because they knew that these submissions were that a lot of the submissions that were coming in were AI generated, yeah. And they had to figure out a way to try to like prevent that or filter that out or at least be better prepared for that. And I mean, that's, you know, the ways in which it can be used, it obviously isn't good at creating high quality original thought, but the fakery, you know, and the ways in which it can be used to cheat in so many different avenues is, you know, it's a little worrying.
I got a couple of just interesting thoughts on this. Like one, you know, people freaked out when he invented written language, you know, like the Greeks were famously, was it Plato or Socrates, or was pissed that they were writing things down.
Because people wouldn't remember things.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, right, like that end of the of intellectual thought didn't come to be. In fact, it increased our ability to pass on knowledge and to think and to communicate. People freaked out with the printing press. People freaked out with computers. You know, it's just, I think it's the next, like, our thing that people are going to freak out about. Yes, it's a new kind of thing. It is not at all like previous tools mankind has invented to further knowledge. But I'm optimistic, at least in the idea that I think the novelty of the bullshit like we're playing around with right now will wear off. And the true usefulness of it will resolve eventually, but nothing will ever be able to replicate the creative ability of a human being, in my opinion. I don't think any computer could ever be sophisticated enough to do it.
I reject your bullshit. I'm scared by everything you just said. Loud noises.
And I had another thought, but I lost it because I'm a frail meat brain, and I can't I can't think of more than one thing at a time. But
ChatGPT, what's an interesting thought you have? Sean can pass off as his own.
I don't think, I'm trepidatious a little bit about it, but at the same time, I feel like we've, as a species, have come across things that have the potential to go one of two ways, and usually it goes in the correct way. Does that make sense?
It does. I think that this is definitely a transitional period, and sometimes those are scary, and they take a while to be navigated. But I think that we as a society have to be, you know, vigilant and careful stewards of it, because you can create atomic energy and power a city, or you can create atomic energy and blow up a city, exactly. You know.
We like to do both as humans.
And we do.
But the other thing I just thought of the other point was, we also have this ability to segment things in society. You can say like, well, you've got your computer-generated content and everyone recognizes it for what it is. But then you might have your authentic, like, artisanal hipster style. Like, no, this is written by a dude.
Bespoke.
Yeah, like, this was actually crafted by a human brain with no inner, you know, like, that kind of stuff will crop up too. And it's just, you know, the economy will meet what people want.
You know, we already do see that in a way, because Spotify has been using algorithms. Sorry, this binary bliss is hitting me. Spotify has been using algorithms to generate playlists for people since they could.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Music's selling point was handcrafted by humans. And I don't know if that's still true. I know. Last year, Apple bought 30 AI startups, the most of any other tech company. So, like, you know, probably not,
right?
But maybe it is, and at least they gambled on people wanting humans over robots for something.
You'll see a lot more of that, I think, in the coming years.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think that is inarguable is that it's here, and it's not going to go away.
Yeah. And it's not going to go away for our next episode, because we are going to write a drama together and read it live. Like the old days.
We'll do it live!
Yep, except chat's going to write it for us. So next time, catch us on that. And I'm going to leave you with the outro that ChatGPT wrote us to Snoop Dogg's song. I'm gonna read it in my best teacher voice. So raise your glasses high. Let the music play. Snoop Dogg and the Star Heart saving the day. With love and with magic, we'll make it right. And together, we'll shine in the eternal light.
Hear, hear.
Until then, until next time. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.